really thick, and sheephead were in. So there must be a bunch of minnows in there feeding along with everything
else. Yeah, it's all
else.
Determined by minnows. It all goes by temperature, but that's because the temperature affects the minnows, which affects the perch, which affects the walleye. So it's a big chain of things. But spent all week again at the shop trying to get it ready to sell. Realtor has a sign up now. And we got the whole upper floor pretty much, well, it's emptied and pretty much vacuumed. And so that's down. So everything's down. But the sale started one day this week. And I mean, it's been, Doc, you could hear that. Boop, boop. Bob's got his energy drink here.
Well, it's a Pepsi.
Pepsi.
Zero Pepsi.
And so I've been working at that. And I got like 250 items up front. But the Carl came yesterday. I gave him a desk for his son for tying flies. And he needed a cooler. I just gave him a cooler. But he bought my original camera, and he posted some really kind words on the internet.
Is that the daguerreotype camera?
No, it was the first battery, because I actually got a crank type Bolex after I, this one was battery powered and compact and all in one. It only held 100 foot reels, but it was all a compact thing. You fit your hand in, it was a really nice one. And that was the first battery powered. Then later on, I got a Bolex where I had a 400 foot magazine on top, and I got rid of that a while ago. But I'm bringing more and more things. A nice guy, came and bought a couple metal signs that I had, and my props from the Hatters when they got the one got banged up. They were like, God, like 30 pounds a piece, and I'm pretty sure they're brass. But people are buying all kinds of things, and I got so much. I got some elf and ivory. I have to still get pictures up of. I've got office stuff, chairs and tables and desks, and I got a really. It's really pretty, and people have an offices at home, but it's a cubicle, and really nice. Like a gray material, and then the corners are like mahogany. Really pretty. Mm. But it's hard to get a picture of the finished thing, because I got it. And I got this table from my aunt. It's really cool. It's a 4-foot by 4-foot table. It's from, well, they're made in California, but it's like a bamboo trim. It's called Tropitan, I think. Ritz is the company. And it's a 4-by-4 table, but it's supported by a big plastic clear dome and a little base. So you could put plants in there. You probably could put fish in there. I mean, it's pretty good size. I mean, you'd have to aerate it or whatever, but it's really neat. So I got that set up, but I've got so much stuff, and I got so much more at home, hunting stuff, fishing stuff. Yesterday, I looked through one drawer. I thought, okay, I'm going through this drawer. And I'm taking everything out, and it's either going to the sale or it's going in the rubbish. Depends on what it is. So I've been collecting. I got crossbow case. I got some, 50 years of stuff, you know.
Did you get that new crossbow?
I got to go pick it up. In fact, Carl's going to go with me one morning, and we're going to film shooting it and explaining it. But it's that new one where you decock it.
Ooh.
So I can't wait to get that. And the season's not that far away, but I'm really not going to start hunting deer until the end of, middle of October, probably. But I got recommended from Gene, who was on the show from Medina, does a lot of that. And he helped me, and he said, put in brassicas. And man, I looked at some of these turnips and stuff. Man, they really did well. But usually you plant it like the middle of September. But I did it because he says it'll help build up the soil. I'm going to put it back. I cut it all yesterday. It's a different smell. Usually when you're cutting clover, it's one smell. Mm-hmm. This plus all the sweet corn, there was none, zero. So I just mowed it all. So I had three fields I had to cut. And I got them cut. Then what I'm going to do later this week, not today because of the rain maybe, I got to spray it to kill it and then watch a week to see if it's all done. And then I'm going to till it in and then plant it. Come about, Doc is unwrapping our goodies of the day.
This is an elephant ear.
An elephant ear. I got ivory and stuff at that. An elephant ear. I actually have.
This is actually from an Asian elephant.
Oh, okay.
It's like a little small.
There's one very easy way, thank you, to see the difference between an Asian elephant and an African elephant. It's the ears.
Mm-hmm.
And Asians are small. Africans are bigger.
Are
big ones. But I do have some tanned elephant ear skins. I got to take that to the shop. I got so much to get. And I got rid of a lot of stuff, and there's so much there, but I got to, well, what it is I got to make more room as stuff sells. But one guy came and bought all the fish mounts and a bunch of horns, and he's going to resell it. And
I would think guys with, like, restaurants, things like that, would want to buy it, you know?
You know,
if you have an outdoorsy type of restaurant or bar.
I think I mentioned I was going to open up a restaurant. I was dating this girl, and I was.
You weren't going to do the cooking, were you?
No. No, but I wanted it to be the motif of all these heads. But then I was warned. Well, first of all, she lived in Florida, which was, you know, and that'll be a good story. That'll be the story later. But anyway. Then I was warned that a lot of people would feel uncomfortable around all these heads and stuff. So Texas, it would go better maybe, but up here it probably wouldn't go. But there's just so much stuff, but I got to keep bringing, so I got to keep putting pictures so people can keep coming back because there's all kinds of, and there, a lot of them are after the memorabilia type things too as well. I had this box from Germany. I used to import eyes to sell to taxidermists. And it was pretty easy to do, you know, probably harder now. And it came in a really strong box.
Like a wooden box?
And it wasn't wooden, but the material was so hard, it was like almost wood.
Okay.
But it was a cardboard, but a really, really compressed cardboard. And I would get like maybe, I don't know, it was like 12 by 12 by 12. And it had all neat writing and stuff on it. And so... The neat thing, this one guy came and bought a whole bunch of stuff. He drove up from Tennessee. When they come, how much do you want for all of that? And a lot of this stuff that had been selling was just display, you know, fleshing knives and carved animals and memorabilia, kind of small, just decorative things. And so he came back. He's coming back for some more stuff. But I'm hoping he's going to find a buyer because I've got all the deer processing stuff. I got a big smoker. And then I got a commercial grinder, 5-horse, which it'll eat 5 pounds of at a crack. You know, it's big. And then I got a big meat saw, which can cut up cows. And then I got a sealer, the vacuum sealer, where you could put 4 bags at a time.
Wow.
So I got all the stuff.
Commercial stuff.
Yeah, it's all commercial stuff, and it's good stuff. So... And that's taking up a lot of space in my garage, so I need to get rid of that. But it's been every 3 weeks, I've filled 3 big 40-yard dumpsters of stuff, and 1 20-yard of metal, not counting the, which is still inside, copper, stainless, and aluminum. It's separate, not worth a lot, but better than just throwing it away. So. I got, but 3 weeks of just almost every day, but now I haven't been eating much because I want to get it done. Luckily, it was relatively cool last week.
Mm-hmm.
I lost another 10 pounds, so I got to be eating. I tried to eat, but you do
did,
that.
Did you, like, take any stuff off your, that Hatteras? Did they have, like, inside, I know there was it was nice inside.
Yeah.
You know, like, they got these little... on the cabinets, sometimes they'll have little wheels or something or a little.
No, the only thing is I got to find it. I did have I had a captain looking figurine.
Oh.
But no, I don't think. It
wasn't
than the,
fancy like.
No. But the props, I think, were the only thing other than the furniture, and I don't know whatever happened to that. But when the realtor come, she says, if it's not attached to the building, get it out. So I had to take out some furniture, couches and tables and rugs and stuff that, you know, like a big throw rug.
Yeah.
You know, like 10 by 10 big. But so that added it. And then plus outside, I looked outside, I had two coolers. They weren't refrigerated, but they were for storage. I had the smoker in there and the meat, did the meat things. And so I decided to use the, I was going to bring my, drive my tractor with the thumb to disassemble it because you could break it and pull it. And then I thought, well, so I have a propane, of course, right in the middle of the project, ran out of propane because there's no gauge on it. But I used the tow motor to lift stuff and pull and disassemble it. So that went into half of another dumpster. But there were, they're like 12 by 12, and the other was even a little bigger. And the roof pieces, 12 foot long, they were, and they were waterlogged, and it was a project. But I, and now it looks nicer there than the one shed. I'm going to, I called the people that built it, Amish, and they can move it when they're working up somewhere this way because they're from Sugar Creek.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to move that one home so I could use it. The other one, I don't know if I'm going to sell it or...
You can raise quail in that one.
My buddy is raising quail.
Yeah.
And he had like 60 hatched out of, I don't know, 80 or something. And we'll talk about that a little bit more when we come back. You're listening to Inside the Great Outdoors, 216-901-0945 is the phone number. Take a short break and be back.
All human life has intrinsic value, including life in the womb. Join Focus on the Family in the movement to end abortion and love every heartbeat. Text heartbeat to 72,000. That's heartbeat to 72,000.
At the Original Mattress Factory, we know better than anyone that the mattress industry is full of myths. Mattress companies spread misinformation to mislead customers about their features and prices. One of those myths is that two-sided mattresses are old-fashioned. Today's mattresses don't need to be flipped and rotated, they say. But today's one-sided mattresses just aren't as durable. That's why OMF still hand-builds two-sided mattresses, because it's what's best for our customers. Visit originalmattress.com to learn more.
Whether looking for a restaurant for dinner reservations or shopping for a major purchase, online reviews are a big part of the research consumers consider before making a decision. Unfortunately, many mattress review sites are paid by mattress companies to recommend their products, which makes it hard to trust the reviews. At the Original Mattress Factory, we do things differently. We value transparency and honesty, and we don't pay for reviews or mislead our customers. Read reviews from our actual customers at originalmattress.com.
See why Medina Buick GMC is Ohio's number one Buick GMC dealer. Lease for as low as $179 a month with $1 down at Ohio's number one Buick GMC dealer, Medina Buick GMC. We are professional grade. Shop now at MedinaGMAutomall.com.
Dennis Prager explains why Kamala Harris is no moderate.
Guess how much she wants the government to spend in the next 10 years? New spending, $46 trillion. She supports the economically ruinous Green New Deal. She supports Medicare for all. And the New York Times says she's a moderate.
The Dennis Prager Show, weekdays at noon, right before Sebastian Gorka at 3 on AM 1420. The Answer, and on radio.com.
This segment is brought to you by Kodiak Scent Company. Who doesn't need that little bit of extra edge on your next fishing trip? We got you covered. Check out one of the many Kodiak products.
Return for grace. It's a beautiful day. Skyfalls, you feel that. It's a beautiful day. To let it get away on the road. But you got no destination.
Welcome back. Listening to Inside the Great Outdoors. See, my mind is going. What was I talking about last that I wanted to... quail.
Quail.
That's the thing they say. If you stop thinking about something, your mind is still working. It'll come.
Maybe.
So, yeah, maybe.
As you get older, that's less and less true.
Well, here was before I get to the quail. So I had to go to get my hearing test, annual hearing test.
Say what?
So my one hearing aid wasn't working. And so I got to go in to have them see if they could fix it and check my other one. I've tore the house apart looking for the second one. Guess where it was?
In your ear.
Yes. God, I was like, wait a minute. Wait, because I did things I had to do and got ready to go, and I forgot that I did. I can't believe that. And so but I did go, and my left ear hearing is dropping. So, but it's, and then I found out that they can't fix this one that's bad anyway, but it's time, because they're older, time to get, because of the new technology. And I want the Bluetooth, because the problem with, I got a new phone. Even with the new phone, you got to hold it close to really hear it. Well, the new blue one will go through the hearing aid, and you can hear it, so that'll be better, especially I'm on a tractor. But so I went, and he put in the new style. Oh, my God. What a difference.
What a difference.
But what he said, it actually helps with the ringing in your ears. Hmm. He said he had this lady, guy brought his mother in. She hears hearing, but she hears a song over and over and over, Silent Night. And then,
I hear Louie Louie all night.
So excuse me, so he put the sample ones, she says, what happened to my music? Oh. But he put this in, and he walked out like two things away. Mm-hmm. I could still hear him talk. But then when he took them out, it's like, oh, my God. I mean, not just volume, clarity.
Yeah.
So what the new ones do, and they said, from what you have and what you're getting, it's like astronomical. I mean, the jumps and jumps and jumps. And so, and you don't need batteries and all. But the clarity of it, but the other interesting, I said, but what I didn't like with the ones I have, whenever she would get them cleaned up, because mine with the mic would get dust in it and being outside a lot, and it would stop working, or it would be gradually slower. Did take out, I do make a lot of wax, so she got the wax, which helped too. But it's it'll cut down the sound of the tractor, but the difference, not only the ringing in your ears, but when he took them out, it was like, oh my gosh, the clarity. Because when I did the test, you have to repeat words, and there were certain words that didn't make sense. Was it? I can't think of the word.
Blepharospasm.
Blepharospasm.
No.
Blepharospasm.
There you go.
It's an F. You didn't tell me that.
It's not. It's a PH.
But it's not blethero. It's
no,
blephoro.
It's blephoro.
Yeah, furrow.
I told you that.
Why didn't you just
times.
Say furrow versus thorough, and I would have got it.
You wouldn't have got it, Joe.
So blepharospasm.
Blepharospasm.
That's what I said, blepharospasm.
There you go.
See?
See?
What?
Was that one of the words on the test? Or?
No, but there were some words that I guessed that'd be, but it didn't make sense. Like, why would they say this word? Because it wasn't a...
Prestidigitate.
No, these are short words.
Oh.
Like throw. Mm-hmm. Or, but certain words that it didn't sound like the word you would know. So I said the word I thought it should be. And it maybe
that's probably, the distinction there is the words sound about the same. But they're different meanings to
exactly.
The words.
And here's another thing I've noticed. Since everybody's wearing masks, I have a hard time understanding a lot of people because you don't see their lips. And I think some of this, I didn't ask them that, but I think some of the words, or it's maybe so muffled.
Well, it's muffled.
Yeah, but hopefully with this new hearing aid, it'll be. But it was just amazing to tell the difference, so I can't wait to get it. So then I asked her when she was doing the test, do they do a different type of test down south, for vocabulary or stuff? She says, no, it's the same. I said, well, like, guy came up from Tennessee, bought a bunch of stuff. And he says, you have any eyes? I says, yeah, I got some turkey eyes. And no, eyes. Yeah, I got turkey eyes. No, eyes in the cooler. Oh, you mean ice. I thought you were saying eyes. So if that would be a word on the test, he would say eyes. No, it's the same.
Give me a 5-pound bag of eyes.
Eyes, yeah. I got turkey eyes, and I got pheasant eyes, and I got deer eyes. But I ain't got any eyes.
It reminds me one time I was working at the zoo, and I was on a tour train, you know?
Yeah.
And a guy came up to me, and he had no teeth. And I was sitting at a booth talking to the girl that was selling bear food at the booth. You know, it was up by Lions, Tigers, and Bears, we used to call it.
Oh, my.
And he says, where'd bear food? And I go, oh, bear food. I says, you get it from the girl in the booth there. No, bear food. I said, yeah, bear food over. No, he said, I got that leak. Bear food.
Bear.
Oh. Oh.
Wow. But, yeah, so it was, I can't wait to get the new ones. It'll just be so much better from what I, you know. And the other thing, went back to the quail. So quail.
We started on quail and ended up with bear food.
Right. Well, I said I was going to talk about it. But my buddy looked into it, and there's a market for quail. There's a market for quail, eggs, meat, whatever. The people that are allergic to eggs can eat quail eggs. They don't. It's completely different, even though it looks it's an egg.
Yeah, I wonder what the protein is in.
It's something, but he studied it well. Plus, the meat is good.
Oh, it's good. I like quail.
Yeah, and these quail are a Japanese Arabic quail. Mm-hmm. They're like a baby chicken. I mean, they're not like the little bobwhites. So he bought an incubator, and he put in, because you don't know if they're, you know, if they're fertile or not.
Yeah.
And he put like 80 or 90 and like 60 hatched. And he says they like double in size. They're like the size of a quarter when they hatch. And you can put a light in and try to see if they're alive and all this. But anyways, and in 6 weeks, they're laying more eggs. They're already an adult. In six to 8 weeks, they're laying eggs. So it's almost like mice. You know.
Well, it's like the chickens you eat. Most of the chickens that are in the broilers and everything.
Yeah,
in the store,
you're right.
They're about 6 to 8 weeks of age.
Yeah. So
that's why they taste so good. They're real young.
So I had some because now my next project is going to be, I got a lot of packaging. Bottles, when I used to sell a two-part epoxy to carvers and taxidermists, little tubs with lids. So I'm going to take like 10 at a time and put them in bags, put them up front. Yeah, a lot of it. I'd like to find a business that could use them. But I never did anything small. But luckily with the divers that I did it, because I still have divers where I don't have to have any certain colors I'm hurting for. The diver orders, it's almost full time now. I can't believe the orders coming in.
Well,
geez. And it's not just here. Pennsylvania, New York, and Tennessee, and out California, and on all over. So I've been, and through the winter, I made a big supply. Had nothing to do when I wasn't fighting the kidney stones. But this winter, I'm going to have to make double that because now I'm running out of clear, I'm running out of black, I'm running out of this. Some I have, but I still have to build them. And so I got a project so between that and the shop getting it ready to sell and having the sale, and then I haven't devoted anything to the outside, but I was on the tractor all day yesterday, and I got a lot done. So, and it was hot. Man, it was hot yesterday. But it's
it was quite warm.
It's looking kind of dreary out there. I'll have to check radar and see what the radar's showing. But
it doesn't look like there's much wind at all, though, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, it's
probably what little wind there is probably south-southwest.
Yeah. Well, let's see what we got here. I'm not seeing any.
I didn't see any rigs this morning again, you know?
No, boats? I didn't either. No. And the other sad thing is you're kind of driving in the dark. The sun was already up, and now it's changing. Yeah. there was some rain and it went south of us. And it's all south of us. And they kind of said it was going to be, some actually went right by us that maybe didn't fall because it, a lot of times it dries up before it hits the ground. So it don't look like no heavy, although they did say late today. So hopefully it'll form and we'll get some. But yeah, it looks like it just, but if you don't have the sun, it won't be so hot. You know, but the, but it was a good week. Got a lot done. Got a lot more to go. But I'm getting progress. I'm getting close. You know,
are your Baltimore Orioles coming in still?
The once in a while,
the young
I'll
ones.
Yes, once in a while I'll see an adult, but most of them are the young ones.
You know, I get them in spurts. You know,
oh, yeah.
And yesterday they were really active. Actually, I was too lazy to go out and put more jelly in there.
Yeah.
But I'll do that when I get home. And the hummingbirds are just going nuts eating the hummingbird food. So I might talk about hummingbirds during the Doc Exchange.
Ooh, that would be good. Yeah.
Everybody likes hummingbirds.
I remember watching that one special. Remember a guy called in and said, you got to watch this special on whatever, and I'll ask questions next week. And there was some really, really interesting things about it. Really interesting.
Oh, they're neat.
Oh, yeah. And I saw some young ones. They go. There's. I don't have feeders out for them, but they go around and keep checking out the grape jelly.
Mm-hmm.
And but yeah, just the immatures are coming around. Once in a while, there'll be a male. But
they'll eat. You know, I've seen them eat the ants off the grape jelly.
Oh, is that what they're eating?
That's probably what they're eating.
How could you see that?
Well, I'm very astute.
I guess you are. Okay, well, then let's take a short break because we got Mr. Astute here. 216-901-0945 is the number. And we're going to take a short break and be back.
For those that fish Lake Erie and are used to fishing with dipsy divers, I think they've got to try my diver, Castaway's magnetic diver. And what's so neat about it, it's a magnetic release. So you don't have to fight. But the problem with the regular dipsies is that they'll trip. You got to bring them in.
Or sometimes they won't trip.
Or they won't trip. This is a magnetic release, so you let it into the water, and as it has slack, it falls and it sets and then dives. And then when a fish hits it, it trips it, comes to the surface, and comes in. But the neat thing about it as well is you can fish with it. You can trip it. You can let it come up through the water column. You can reset it. So it's a great way to get a bait down and away from the boat. So it's Castaway's magnetic diver. But it's something, if you're a troller, you need to look into. It's a great product and a great way to make fishing a lot easier and a lot more productive. So order yours today.
Know what I love? Taking the boat out before dawn. The mist is still on the water. And that first perfect cast breaking the silence. Know what I don't love? Spending time shopping instead of fishing. That's where Discount Drug Mart comes in. They have everything. Hunting and fishing licenses, night crawlers, insect repellent, sunscreen, ice, coolers, beverages for the coolers, even snacks like beef jerky and sunflower seeds. One quick stop and I'm on the water and all's right with the world. Discount Drug Mart saves you the runaround.
This segment is brought to you by Discount Drug Mart, the stores that save you the runaround, an employee ownership company serving Ohio for 50 years.
Welcome back. You're listening to Inside the Grid Outdoors with our new engineer who was on vacation last week and now he's back.
He's,
and now
he's brand new now.
He's brand new.
He's all vacationed up.
Yeah.
Or Derek did a good job last week.
Yes,
he did.
We didn't have any problems.
Nope. Nope.
Only problem, we couldn't get the
internet,
and the podcast was a little late, but that's okay. Better late than never.
But we can't beat our Andy.
Oh, no.
And Andy's the man.
That's right.
And he'll be the first one to tell you so.
Yeah, he will. Would you do anything interesting on your vacation?
Not too much. It was more or less just to recoup and
recoup.
<know. laughs> He didn't go to Paris, he told me.
He did?
He didn't.
Oh no.
He couldn't go.
Oh.
So he found Paris and Cleveland here, I guess.
Oh yeah? Where?
Don't worry about it.
Oh, that's her name. Okay. Oh, I got it.
That's Le jeune name. Fille.
It wasn't a place, it was a person.
Mais oui.
Mais oui, what?
Mais oui.
What?
Yes.
But yeah, it's going to be a hot week, temperature wise.
And watch your animals. Be careful. Or your kids in the car.
Yeah, I did take Doc. Doc. See, I still call my Baron Doc. My very first. Isn't it something? My very first dog was Doc.
Don't look at me.
Oh, yeah, that was his name, Doc. D-O-C. But I did take Baron to the shop every day when I went, and I parked the van in a cool place, had all the windows open. I would take him out for just a little walk periodically. He had water and worked out good. But I haven't been to the store much, a little bit, but I, you know, if I'm going to be there for any length of time, even not a length of time, like I went to the store to see about a new phone and went to Best Buy, I didn't take them. And
that's wise.
Yeah. Plus, people will come and yell at you for having your dog, even though you have windows open and on, you know.
But he's good in the van there. You know, he doesn't jump around. You know, some of these dogs are nutty.
Oh, yeah. You don't
get him in a car and, they see something.
He's got his cage and stuff.
Yeah, he just lays there,
yeah. So, but I still, if I know there's a chance I'll be there for any, you know, length of time.
We do check on him all the time here at the station.
And it's, with this cloudy, it'll be okay.
Yeah.
And I get the windows open and stuff. If it rains, we just go check. But it's so I watch it a lot with the heat, you know. And so I've left him at home a lot. And he has water, and he's pretty good not having to go to the bathroom too much.
I've had dogs get overheated swimming.
Really?
Believe it or not. I can remember a young man, he had a Labrador Retriever. He's middle-aged, wasn't old. And he took it to a pond. It was, I think the pond was in Parma, I do believe. And he kept throwing it was hot. Kept throwing he had a decoy that he was throwing it out. The dog would bring it back, throwing it out, bringing it back. That dog actually overheated in the weather, jumping in the water.
Really?
Yeah, I was really surprised. He made it, but you know, I brought it in. Temperature was really high, probably 105, 106. It gets to 107, 108. That's bad news, you know.
What were the signs that it was overheated?
Well, they're panting really hard, and they look like they're in distress, like they can't catch their breath. If their gums start turning like a brick reddish color, boy, you're really far along. And if that temperature gets above 107, 108 or so, you got things frying internally, the brain, the kidneys, et cetera.
Because I know in the heat sometimes I'll see Baron and he's breathing short breaths.
Yeah.
You know. But
there, you can tell they're in distress.
Yeah, yeah. I haven't seen that.
So.
And if I'm outside on the porch, he's got to be there. If I'm inside, he's got to be there. You know, but he's good. He's good. And I can leave him and know he's not going to, if I have anything on the counter, he's not going to grab it. He's not going to go chew anything. He's not going to do anything. So that's really good. And he's a good watchdog as well.
He's a good watchdog.
Yeah.
And he's got a good temperament, you know?
Yeah. 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 He's not, when I first got him, I remember I'd look at him and he gave a scary look. He just had that look about him, like, I'm going to eat you up, you know. But he wasn't acting like he looked, I think is the best way to put it. I got used to it after.
Well, you know, some dogs, it's funny, and people misinterpret this. Dogs will grin. They'll curl up their lips.
Yeah.
And they show their teeth.
Yeah.
And it looks like they're going to rip your head off.
Yeah.
But they're just happy. They're grinning. They're not really.
Well, isn't it the ears that tell?
Yeah, you don't want those ears pinned back, that's for sure.
But. And that's almost on every animal. An elephant, if he, you know, when he comes up with the ears flapping, that's to scare you.
Yeah.
And when they lay him back.
Make him look bigger than he is.
Right. And he makes noise.
Mm-hmm.
And those on those mock charges, like I had a bunch of. And he'd run up to you. And, yeah, you know what? That'll be a better story. I'll save that. But if they lay their back, look out.
Watch out.
Bear lays his ear back. Wolves lay their ear back. So even deer, when they lay them down, when they lay them kind of down, that's an aggressive. You see one deer coming up to another deer.
Yeah.
He'll of course, puff himself up to look bigger. But he lays his ears back and down. But their ears are usually the only way to a true telltale sign on an animal. Because you can't see with their eyes and their mouth or whatever. I don't know about lions. They got small ears. I don't know. But, yeah, the ears are
there. Yeah, they lay them down, too. You can tell on the female. You can't tell so much on the males with the manes.
Right, you know? Exactly. That's what I meant. But, yeah, the female. What about, because he, whenever I walk up to him, he kind of sinks down and puts his head down and his ears down. And
that's a little submission. Like,
why?
Well, that's what dogs do. Like, you're the head dog, so.
Yeah.
He's down, like, they'll sometimes look up at you, you know, with their eyes to the side.
Yeah.
You know, boss is here. I didn't do anything. No.
Yeah, and it's like.
I don't think I did anything, at least.
Yeah, but now he's getting into this habit this week that, okay, he sleeps in one spot, but through the night I can hear him. He parks himself right by my door and the bedroom. And then when the TV goes on, he goes and lays down near in the kitchen. And then when I come there, he does the same thing with the legs. So then I'll say, you want the breakfast? And he jumps up like a dolphin. And he leaps. And he runs it. And he goes in circles and stuff. So I put the food out in the morning. And now he just keeps looking at me. And he looks at the food. And he looks at me. And he looks at the food like, where's the eggs? There's supposed to be eggs. And he looks back and forth. And I keep saying, okay. Because, okay, that word is, that's like the universal for stuff. And he keeps looking at me, and I say, it's okay, you can eat it. And he looks at the food, and he looks back at me like, where's something missing?
Where's the condiments, boss?
Yeah, exactly. Here's a hot dog, where's the mustard? So then yesterday I thought, okay, I'll switch things around because I give him an egg at supper. Instead of giving the eggs at supper, I'll give him the eggs in the morning because when I put the egg in there, supper, he's right there. So last night, supper, I didn't put an egg. He's looking at it, so I know it's the egg. He looked at the food, he looked at me, looked at the food, wouldn't eat it. Wait a minute, it's okay. I had to go get an egg and put it in there. So this morning, same thing, looks at me. I keep saying, it's okay, there's no egg today. And he looks at me, and he looks at the food, looks around, he won't eat it. Finally, after a while, when he realizes there's not going to be any egg, then he'll eat it. And I don't know, this just started, this, you know. I don't know what the, but he, I just wish I could take him out without having him on a lead, because if I let him out, he's gone. But oddly enough, this is strange, because there's the garage door. If the garage door is open, boom, he's gone. If the back door, once in a while, the chain will break or something, or it rusts, off he goes. I could yell, pew, looks at me, yeah, buddy, goes. The front door, I go get a package that's delivered to the front door, open the door, I can leave the door open, get the package, come back in. He don't know that that's the way. And the other thing is, he thinks that the basement is going somewhere, because when I open the door to the basement to go work down there, wherever he's at, he runs to the steps and he watches. He won't come down, but he watches, like, that's another way for me to go away. But I've been had to make drill weights for the divers. I had to work on the pins, so I was down there a bunch today, which is nice and cool. And I mean, through the week, and painting. That's right, do paint the black divers, and so it. But it's interesting. His the way he operates for certain things.
Yeah, his behavior.
Behavior is, you know. But I guess you've saw that in a lot, but that's strange with the egg thing and what is.
Yeah, he's just playing your game, Joe.
Well, yeah, the other game is I'll throw his ball. Bring it here. He wants me to take it away from him. But then he'll go and he'll lay down 5 feet away. I ain't coming and getting it. So I figured out yesterday how to fix this. When I throw the ball down the hallway, it's a long hallway, I stand in the hallway. So he's got to go by me so I can catch him. Otherwise, he'll come and he won't come to me. Or if he does, I got to grab him right away because he'll go and then he lays down. And he takes his head and he throws it around. But so I figured that one out. But, yeah, he's got his behavior is, you know. But, yeah, he's a good dog. And I talk out loud to him, and he's actually a good companion. A pet is a good companion because it keeps you active. It keeps you talking. It keeps you thinking. You know, if you're home alone, it is a very good.
Got to take it out for a walk.
Yeah.
Where is it in Germany? There's a law that you have to take your dogs for a walk, an hour walk twice a day.
What?
It's a law. I think it's Germany.
How do they police it?
I don't know how they police it, but.
Twice a day. Well, that's right. When I haven't had time to go run them with the, and it's hot, I'm not going to run them with the, I'll take the ATV and go. So I figured throwing the ball, at least get him to do, but he's constantly moving because if I go somewhere, he's following me. So he's getting, is that walking exercise help? Or is it more got to be longer?
I think any activity helps. Walking rather than running, though.
Okay, so you know, him following me around
the
house.
I think that's fine.
Okay, good.
Or even outside if he's following you.
Yeah.
Trotting or walking.
Yeah.
Running, it's just like with people. They pound their joints, and especially the bigger dogs, you know.
Oh.
They're pounding their shoulders. They're pounding their hips.
Oh.
And some of them, unfortunately, start getting arthritis in those areas. And I think with the more exercise, the worse the arthritis gets. Now, it helps with the muscles around there in that they're moving their muscles. But if you don't have to pound them, that's the best thing. And the best thing is swimming, really, you know. Because you're not pounding the joints and you're exercising the muscles.
Taking him,
just like us.
Yeah, just so not taking him for a run with the ATV, is that a good thing that I'm not?
Probably not. Oh. You know, I think you're better if you go slow with the ATV.
Well, I'll
and he,
yes.
And he kind of trots next to you.
Yeah, he does that.
Trotting's okay, but the running is it's really hard on their joints.
Okay, good to know.
On our joints.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, great info. Well, take a break. 216-901-0945 is the phone number. Take a short break and be back.
I'm on Blackjack. Keep your hands off of my stack.
For those that fish Lake Erie and are used to fishing with dipsy divers, I think they've got to try my diver, Castaway's Magnetic Diver. And what's so neat about it, it's a magnetic release. So you don't have to fight. The problem with the regular dipsies is that they'll trip. You got to bring them in.
Or sometimes they won't trip.
This is a magnetic release, so you let it into the water, and as it has slack, it falls and it sets and then dives. And then when a fish hits it, it trips it, comes to the surface, and comes in. But the neat thing about it as well is you can fish with it. You can trip it. You can let it come up through the water column. You can reset it. So it's a great way to get a bait down and away from the boat. So it's Castaway's Magnetic Diver. But it's something, if you're a troller, you need to look into. It's a great product and a great way to make fishing a lot easier and a lot more productive. So order yours today.
Do you want to become a better hunter, a better angler? Then you need to subscribe to the best outdoor publication in Ohio, Ohio Outdoor News. 26 times per year, you'll receive the latest news and information that the best hunters and anglers utilize. Each issue keeps you in the know on timely season updates, like where the fish are biting, along with useful hunting tips from experts in the field. The detailed fishing hotspot maps are a must-have, as is the Ohio Fishing and Hunting Report, found only in Ohio Outdoor News. They also provide real coverage into the regulations that impact Ohio outdoorsmen and women. And you'll find pages of trophy photos that hunters and anglers like you have shared with Ohio Outdoor News. Best of all, it's all about Ohio. Take it from me, you're missing out if you're not reading every issue. To subscribe to Ohio Outdoor News, call 800-535-5191. That's 800-535-5191 for the best outdoor publication in the state, Ohio Outdoor News.
This segment is brought to you by Northfield Fireplace and Grill.
located in awesome Northfield, Ohio, where our motto is, it's easier to sell the truth.
Welcome back. Listen, we're inside the Great Outdoors. And so that's interesting about dogs, that running is not that good.
I don't think it's good for them. Now, maybe some people will disagree, but
yeah,
you know. And
well, I know when
get
I would
other
run
injuries
them.
Too. I used to see a lot of, you know, where they're chasing something
in
the grass or something, make a fast turn, and boom, they pop their cruciate ligaments.
Ooh, because
real
I noticed...
common injury. I do. When I was doing a lot of surgery, I probably do 2 cruciate ligaments a week.
Really?
Yep.
And what does that
all
entail?
All-size dogs, you know?
So what does that entail for you to do?
Well, it's an orthopedic surgery. You got to make an incision on the lateral part of the joint, clean it out, clean the joint out, and I would use synthetic suture material in the same plane as the ruptured cruciate material.
When it ruptures, what happens? Does it tear?
It tears, yeah.
So you can actually sew it back together?
No.
Oh, no?
Mm-mm.
What do you do?
Once there's no space there to sew. There's nothing. You know, it's a small. And there's two. It's called cruciates because there's an anterior cruciate and then there's a posterior. Rarely will they rupture their posterior, but it's always that anterior.
So how do you patch it?
You don't patch it. You drill, you know, you clean out the joint. And there's a couple of procedures where you can do a tibial-type procedure where you're advancing the tibial crest. That works pretty well. Or you can put a synthetic suture material in there that's riding the same plane of the joint, and you kind of tie it on the back of the femur, distal part of
the
femur, and then you're drilling the tibia, and you put that suture through there.
So you kind of it's like you're replacing it, sort of.
It's sort of like that, like, but you're giving it stability is what you're doing.
Wow.
And sometimes you can embrace what's called the lateral retinaculum. It's just some of those.
So you just put the dog out?
Oh, yeah, you got to give them general anesthetic.
Yeah, how do you do that, an injection?
Usually give them an IV or IM injection of a heavy sedative. You know,
they actually get an IV?
We would use ketamine
like
and Valium,
does.
Or you can use propofol. You know, there's a bunch of ways to do
it.
Then you put an endotracheal tube on them, in them, and we keep them maintained on a inhalation gas machine.
So is the IV like a human would get?
Mm-hmm.
Really?
Same thing.
Wow. And you always had one assistant or more?
I was the assistant.
You did it yourself.
I did most of the stuff myself.
Yeah. And then when you're done, how long does it take a dog to wake up like a human does with the...
Pretty quick.
Does it?
Pretty quick, yeah.
Huh.
And you try and do the surgery, as quickly as you can. The longer they're under the anesthetic, it's like anything, I think the harder it is on
them. How long does it normally take
to do a cruciate?
Yeah.
I would say 1 to 2 hours, depending on the size of the dog and the amount of damage there.
Wow.
You know?
Ooh, let's go phone call. We got Rich. Good morning, Rich. How are you doing?
I'm doing okay. How are you guys?
Good. How's the fishing, Rich?
Well, I've been catching a lot of large crappie. Like in the last 2 weeks, I think I got 12 fish Ohio crappie.
Wow.
Yeah. So it's like the bigger ones are it, and I'm not catching the smaller ones, and I don't know. My dad always said the big ones have to feed more time per day than younger ones. So maybe there's some truth to that. But I got a question for Doc.
Yeah.
Okay, you know, I turned you guys on at 7 o'clock, and I was up before that, and I have a summer room with nothing but patio doors, so they're all open. There's this hawk been squawking in the back here for an hour and a half, and it hasn't moved or anything. It's up in the trees somewhere, but I'm wondering what is going on with that.
I'm not sure. I'll tell you what squawk a lot are blue jays.
And no, this is not a blue jay. I can definitely hear it's a higher pitch as far as, and, you know, I've seen hawks, and you hear it, and mm-hmm. then, you know, you associate it with, I mean, it's not a young one in a nest or anything like that waiting for a mom to come back that maybe got whacked by a car or something. Is that possible?
You know, anything's possible, but, you know, without actually hearing it, it'd be hard to say. Remember, blue jays are mimics. They can mimic other birds really well, too, and they can make a variety of sounds, and some are kind of hideous, you know.
So do they just want to keep singing all morning long? I mean,
yeah, well, you know, they could be territorially affected by some other birds or some migratory birds coming through. Some of the birds, I think, are already starting their southward migrations.
Huh. Yeah. Okay, well, yeah, I thought maybe you might have an answer for me. That's okay. Some things are just not explainable, I guess.
Yeah. Wow, cool. Okay. All
righty.
Have a good day.
Have a great day, guys.
See you, Rich.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Yeah, maybe somebody will come up with an idea. Good morning, Tom.
Yeah, on the subject of hawks, yesterday I was down at Metro Parks, and I always see hawks, not always, but sometimes I'll see them having their meal in the middle of the road and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot less squirrels around. And yesterday, out in the middle of a field, there's a big tree trunk, and there's a big pile of hawk feathers. And the only thing I could figure out is maybe he was having a meal. And what do you think would attack a hawk?
Anything, usually another hawk.
Another hawk, a bigger hawk.
Yeah.
A bigger one.
Yeah.
Yeah, they'll because they're... Them. Well, that's probably my question too. There's the smaller hawk, and then the bigger red tail hawk?
Red tails are the biggest hawks around here.
Yeah, that is a giant hawk.
Yeah, and remember, you know, they'll eat about anything. They'll eat carrion. Sometimes, you know, like eagles will eat dead fish.
Mm-hmm.
You know, hawks are kind of a generalist. You know, especially. Especially the big ones. They're, you know, they need to eat quite a bit to maintain themselves. You know, the little ones are the ones of sparrowhawks and peregrine falcons and Cooper's hawks. They're the ones that I think are more of the hunters rather than these big hawks like red-shouldered and red-tailed hawks. Not to say they won't nail anything. They will, but they're opportunists.
Would a coyote...
Sure.
A coyote instead of a bigger hawk?
Yeah. You know, if the hawk wasn't paying attention, those coyotes will eat anything. You know, right at this time of the year, they really like turkeys. Mm-hmm. If they can sneak up on a turkey, they'll nail them, you know.
Yeah, that's the first thing I thought.
That's a possibility.
Hawk was not looking. He was eating squirrel or chipmunk or something, and... Mm-hmm. He got pounced on, and it was just a
very well could
it was
have
a
happened,
pile of feathers. Yeah,
yeah. Sometimes you're in the wrong place at the wrong time. You know?
Yeah, yeah. Okay. All right. Thanks a lot.
Okay. We'll see you.
All right.
I see a note that Tim, they're out with the Carl.
Mm-hmm.
Doubles and triples, walleye flying in the box.
Oh, good.
So sounds like Carl is having a good time out there.
I wonder if they're fishing the sandbar out of Lorraine.
I'm sure we'll find out later when he calls in.
But I was kind of thinking about those blue jays, you know?
Yeah.
They kind of remind me of an old saying Molière said one time.
Who's Molière?
Molière was a French playwright.